Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Divine Downloads. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton, and I'm delighted to be here with you today. I have a wonderful guest, Anne Conkley. Anne is a certified nurse midwife and life coach in Cleveland, Ohio. She has 15 years of experience in women's health, and she has survived the challenges of burnout and finding balance as a career-driven mom. In 2019, Anne created and opened Authentic Coaching LLC, coaching with a K, to help other women do the same through private and group coaching along with local retreats. The Cultivate with a K retreat is being held on January 17th through the 18th and is a women-only 24-hour retreat to give women the space and time to learn from experts in women's health, financial planning, fitness, nutrition, and the science around habits. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Anne, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so pleased and happy to be here. So thank you.
You're so welcome. So I think it's so fascinating to talk about networking and connection, because I feel like connection is so valuable and so important, and especially in this situation we're in, and with this epidemic of isolation and people, it's like we're more connected than ever, and we've never been more disconnected. So I'd like to tell people how I met, and I'm trying to remember how we met. Was it on Facebook?
No, it was through, I signed up for the NNBA, and you were the regional rep, I think. And so I think you emailed me to say welcome, or maybe someone emailed me from NNBA to say, you know, welcome to the group, and this is your regional person. And then I think I just maybe emailed you to say, hey, you know, my name's Anne, and, or something like that. That's, I think, how it happened.
Perfect. That's right. Yeah. I think you found my name on the, so just for people, any nurses listening, the NNBA stands for the National Nurses and Business Association. It's a wonderful organization where the whole mission is to help support, uplift, educate nurse entrepreneurs. There's always a conference in Vegas, or somewhere fun location in September. And it's a phenomenal organization. So that is right. So that's how we met. So many things I want to talk about just in the description. I love that your retreat is about all the things. The science of habits really grabs my attention. Nutrition, money. So Anne, tell us a little bit about your journey and like how you got to this place of being fried, and sort of what was the catalyst for you creating your coaching practice?
So I've been in women's health for about 15 years, like you said in the intro, and I've been practicing as a certified nurse midwife for 11, and I've just gone through some challenges over the past, I don't know, probably more so the past 5-6 years, and it really started with, I was at work and you know, about to catch a baby, and we had a really tough shoulder dystocia, which for, you know, non-medical people is just an obstetric emergency, or an emergency during labor and birth, where the shoulders can get wedged or caught. And so we have a whole, you know, cadre of interventions and techniques and in terms of how to affect the delivery or the birth of those shoulders, which we did. And we had a good outcome for both mom and baby. But it was really a earth-shattering moment for me. And even just to talk about it, I mean, I still talk about it. I still get that little kind of quiver in my voice because I go back to that moment and relive it, you know, like almost like the trauma of it, you know. And we had, you know, good outcome for mom, good outcome for baby. And I think I, at the end of that, in addition to maybe some of my other colleagues who were there, with me and supporting me, it really shook me to my core. And after that, the kind of reeling aftermath of that was that I started to really consider whether or not I could or would choose to continue doing work where I knew I would get into more situations like that. And that was probably the first moment. And then going through the chart review on that patient and really kind of doing a deep dive into, you know, where were there things that, that as a team we could have, you know, done better in terms of kind of helping her. And shoulder dystocia is a tough one because you cannot predict who will experience that. So, you know, there's nothing necessarily in the moment, but after kind of, you know, really thinking it through, I thought, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze, which has become one of my phrases essentially for kind of, you know, how I weigh out options and, you know, make some decisions. So after that shoulder dystocia, I started to look at programs for to go back to school. I have, you know, I interestingly have a bachelor's in psychology and then an accelerated bachelor's in nursing. And then I went to get my master's in nursing at University of Illinois in Chicago and, you know, started off as a women's health nurse practitioner and a midwife. And then, you know, so after the shoulder, I just thought, you know, maybe I need to pursue a different path within, you know, nursing or healthcare. So I started off in a program at Case Western Reserve University here in Cleveland. And it was a 2-year program of a master's in management, master's in the science of management with a focus in healthcare. And I got essentially through 2 years of that program. And I got to one of my, you know, last classes, this culminating class with, which is a great class, all of these really interesting healthcare people, you know, consultants and some healthcare CEOs. We have a huge healthcare community here in Northeast Ohio. And it was really cool, but I left that and I was like, I don't want to do any of this. Like I have no interest in, you know, so much of this. And so at that point I shifted on into the MBA program. I could apply all of my credits that I had for this master's in science management program. I could apply all those credits to the MBA program. So I transferred officially. I completed the core requirements for an MBA and I took one class, which really changed my whole trajectory. And that was called Living the Good Life. And as a sleep, you know, chronically sleep deprived healthcare person, which I, if you know, many of your listeners as nurses, I think can attest to for those of us who work constant, you know, rotating shift, or, you know, or on call. And, you know, it gets the fatigue really kind of hits. And I think a lot of us, you know, kind of go on about our day to day. And then when we have these breaks or periods where we rest, we feel like a million bucks. And then we're like, oh God, we're really just chronically sleep deprived, which is, which is tough. But I had kind of one of these moments within this class, which was called Living the Good Life. And I was like, yeah, why wouldn't I want to take that class? That class sounds absolutely awesome. And so I got into this class and it was a class about entrepreneurship. And one of the speakers who they all would like zoom in, and it was a really cool class. We had Hal Elrod, who does the Miracle Morning, come on, and we had oh God, that guy who does Niche Down, whose name escapes me at the moment. And then we had Julie Reisler from the USU, or like PhD in U, and she has this great program. She's essentially a life coach and she does a ton of stuff. And she was talking about her business and how she grew and some of the challenges that she had gone through as a working mom. And all of a sudden I just had this moment where I thought, I can make something, I can create something on my own terms that honors the place, you know, where I am in my life, which is that I'm a mom of 2 children. I'm married and, you know, I have, you know, I've gone through a couple of things in healthcare and gone through some trauma with, you know, some situations and to be honest, I've had a wonderful career in healthcare. But you know, it's been marked by a couple of those, you know, patients and moments where we just, they hit us deep and we don't forget those. And I started to just get the sense that I could take my experience and my expertise from midwifery, from nursing, from women's health, and I could use that in a different way. And I could create something that allowed me to prioritize what was most important in my life. And that's really, first and foremost, it's my family and the people around me who are really important and special to me. So I launched Authentic Coaching last year, and I'm in a journey of developing a business and really starting to work with women in particular, because that's always been my bread and butter. You know, I've got two boys and you know, married to my husband, and so I, you know, deal with boys, but they're just a lot different than women. So I stick to kind of what I know and my own experience. And so my business is really based on working with women and helping them to find balance and joy, and to prioritize, you know, what is important to them, and to really identify what they want. I think for many years I trucked along and really did a lot of things that I was asked to do, and really grew in a career in healthcare as, you know, full scope midwife. And then I ended up taking on a position as assistant medical director of one of our ambulatory clinics, and then, you know, moved into a medical director role. And so I served in a lot of roles that really, you know, I did a lot of great things for our organization. And I decided it was time to kind of, you know, refocus on, you know, doing things that I really wanted to do and not doing things that were on someone else's agenda. So I've got this retreat coming up in January, which is something I've been wanting to do for so long. It's a opportunity for women to pause and really to give women the space and time to take a pause and to be very intentional about, you know, what do I want, and where do I want to go, and how do I cultivate the things that I want in my life? And I've pulled in some of these really wonderful local experts who I think are gems in our community and who are committed to doing similar work, which is helping women get, you know, from point A to point B. Elizabeth, I know you said you were interested about Dr. Astor, who is Dr. Tamsin Astor. She's a PhD, and she is she's on Facebook and Instagram, and you should follow her. She's great. She does these like wonderful little quick videos, and but she calls herself a chief habit scientist, or a chief habit officer, and her bread and butter, her jam, as she calls it, is, you know, helping people use habits and systems to help them get where they want to be. So, you know, it's people like her. I'm helping, you know, I really wanted to bring kind of these just local gems, you know, give them the opportunity to share, you know, their craft and what they're doing and their phenomenal work. And then also give women a chance to say, like, okay, if I want to do something, you know, where do I go and who do I go to? Because the reality is, I think a lot of us get into a point where, you know we want to make some changes, and we know we're not kind of, you know, we feel a little bit stuck, but we that's where we stay, and we don't know how to kind of move forward. So this is a good opportunity to just align kind of women who have those needs with these experts who can really kind of help help give them the tools to make some changes. And I love doing it in a group setting. I've done centering pregnancy for so many years as a midwife, and the dynamics that happen in a group and the level of engagement and kind of it's like there's some like magic that happens in a group setting that you just can't often get on one-to-ones. And it's just one of those, I think, things that can be can really change the game for a lot of people. So.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So I know so many people listening.
That was a mouthful, Elizabeth.
No, it's so good. And this is what I absolutely love. This is why I love to talk to people on a platform where other people can listen, because there is no like one path. And as a new baby nurse, right, you always hear over and over, well, it's that S word, you know, you should, you know, whatever it is, you should work in med-surg before you go to ER. It's like, no, there's no rule. The only rule is, to me, like, how creative can you get? And how cool is it? I don't know why I keep saying this. I come up with tweetables. I don't tweet. I'm on Twitter, but I don't tweet. But is the juice worth the squeeze? Is that what it was?
Yeah. And I heard that. I was listening to NPR and I couldn't tell you who the interviewee was, but I heard that phrase and I thought, oh my gosh, that's like, I'll run with that forever. And that was many years ago. And then, you know, Lizzo, it came up again. I was just, you know, comes up in Lizzo's song Juice. And you know, it's just one of those key phrases that for me is like a, you know, I don't know, is the juice worth the squeeze on this one? I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that, you know? So
good. And I think your story is an example of what happens when we really allow ourselves the time, the space. I love the word pause. It has such good energy behind it that you had this experience, right? You were doing what you love to do. And it's like when you were talking, I always get these visions, and it's like, I could see you sort of like having this out of body experience where you're looking down on the situation and you're pausing long enough to say, you know, I wonder if this is in the best interest for my highest good for the long term.
Yeah.
Right. And it started what I call synergy, where it's like you started making changes based on that energy, that feeling, that to me, what you're describing are soul nudges, right? Yeah. Where it's like you've been called, you've been tapped on the shoulder. Hey, Anne, we want you to come over here.
Yeah.
And I had a very similar experience where we were doing a routine electrophysiology case on a woman that was my age, also a mother. And there was a complication mid-procedure. Everything ended up being fine. And in the moment, I had the same exact, like, out of body, looking down, is this really what I want to be doing? And similar to you, it's like that started the trajectory of me going on a completely different path.
Yeah.
And I want to acknowledge you, because I don't think we acknowledge others or one another, especially other women, enough for having the courage to be almost done with the program and saying, you know what? This is not what blows my skirt. Like, this is not melting my butter. This is not what I'm coming here to do. So I want to bow down to you and say, thank you.
Thank you. That's you're welcome. And thank you for acknowledging it. It's funny. It's like, for so long, I knew I wanted to be a midwife and I knew I wanted to work with women. And, you know, I chose nursing as a career. And it's funny, I just taped the video because 2020 has been dedicated by the World Health Organization, as you probably know, as the year of the nurse and the midwife. And so we've got several events locally and that we're supporting, you know, to really celebrate and honor nurses and midwives as well. And it's funny in that, you know, I knew I wanted to do midwifery. I mean, I just like, I, you know, I saw this video. I was watching, I don't know, it was ABC News or 60 Minutes or something. And this gal had a water birth on, you know, like there was this film of a water birth. And I'll never forget watching it and just being totally in awe of birth. And I was like, this is what I need to do, you know? And so I jumped on a path essentially that got me to that place. And I did that work for many years. And when I, as you call it, took courageous action, which, and I really like too what you said about kind of a soul nudge, because I feel like trauma is like a, you know, is maybe not the best way from a healing standpoint to look at kind of, you know, what we've been through and how it can shape us and really kind of lead us in a different direction. And I like soul nudge, but I was thinking about, you know, it's like kind of the birth and the death of like this thing that you've wanted to do so long. And then what I've found is over the past, I don't know, 6 or 9 months, really, since I left clinical practice, that I can have influence still, and I can still work with women in a different way. And that is, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily at the bedside, and it doesn't have to be in this very, you know, traditional way. And it doesn't have to honor, you know, well, you should do it this way. And, you know, it's been such a relief, I think, for me over the past, you know, 6 months to say, okay, I can take something that I've done and I can do something a little different. And people might not like it, but who cares? And, you know, I have to find a way to kind of serve a bigger purpose, number one, and number two, to do something that really honors the stage where I am in my life with younger children and the needs of the people who are around me, who are most important to me.
Yes. I'm over here like jumping up and down because I also call myself the permission queen. And when I worked for my day job as a nurse, I always gave people permission because this is what I know to be true. Oprah moment. When you realize and that you can actually change your mind, it is the most liberating thing because the only person that we're really in competition with is ourselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we put all of this pressure and we put all these shoulds and all these like, well, what would they say and what will they think? And this is what I want, especially nurses, to hear loud and clear. There is no one path. It's the year of the nurse and the midwife, and there's nothing that you can't do as a nurse. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's an entrepreneur, oncology, bedside, labor and delivery, ER, flight nurse. Literally, this is your permission slip. If you have the courage, if you have the chutzpah and you have the tenacity to be bold and to be vulnerable, seriously, there's never been a better time to be a nurse, right?
Yeah. I completely agree. And I've it's funny too, I'll be very honest, because I essentially got away from, I don't know. I feel like I kind of drew back from, you know, nursing, cause I felt like, okay, I'm going to do an MBA and I'm going to be business and I'm going to, you know, how can I, like those experiences and that teaching that I've, you know, been given over, you know, 15 years of nursing, I just was like, oh, okay, well that's kind of there in one silo. And then I have business in another silo. And interestingly, our families kind of like, you know, the people in my family are like kind of business, or they're medical, like, and not really medical, they're nursing. It's like nursing and business. And so I kind of was like, oh, I'm like, I'm going to cross the chasm from nursing to business. And I wouldn't say abandoned, but I think I kind of just put it in this little category of like, nursing's over here and this new business thing that I'm doing over here. And what I have just really come to appreciate.
Dude, I can't hear you anymore, Anne. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Are you here?
Okay. Okay, cool. There was just a little, there was a little blip. Okay. So I'm so glad that you shared this. I think this must have been a little nudge from your soul to say this out loud, which is so liberating. So I want to thank you also for having the courage to say that, is that it's, I think so many nurses carry this shame around that it has to be a certain way. It has to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And to me, what you're explaining, Anne, is like, you're basically bringing the soul, the human spirit, to the care of the human. Like,
yeah,
it's the most, and it's so divinely orchestrated by your soul. I mean, I can't wait to see your book about this, your experience, because you know you're going to have at least one, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, yeah. Oh yeah. There, I wrote one down, and it's funny, you know, I wrote a book earlier, well, last year in 2019, called The Healthy Back Routine for Busy Women, because it came out of a place of, I was just tired of not having a good resource for all of my patients with back pain. And so I created a book, you know, it's like an ebook on Amazon, and I, you know, probably sell about one book a month, which is fine. But for me, it was this, you know, great opportunity to do something that I wanted to do. And I, you know, I needed it and I knew my patients needed it. And
So, but I did it. And so now I feel like I have the strategy of how to write a little book. So over the break, I just came off of a, you know, 2 week break. We're in mid January here and my kids had off for winter break. And so we traveled and one of the things that I came up with, like I woke up one morning and just, it hit me a book. And I was like, oh my God, where's my pen and paper? You know, like, where's my journal? So I wrote it down and I'll write it for sure. And I'm sure I got a couple in me.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I feel like the word birth is going to be in the title. It's like the birth of your evolution. Like you're going to tie in the midwifery and this beautiful blossoming of, oh my gosh. It's so many people. We talk about a lot of books on the show because I feel like, well, I took this must have been like 7 years ago, like how to write a book. And I wanted to write a book just like I wanted to do a podcast for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a little slow on the uptake, but it doesn't matter. Like never or later is better than never, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, even if you're, you know, it's funny, even for nurses, I think, you know, if you're ever in a point, and I've met so many nurses and I've worked with so many midwives and NPs who are just at a point of being absolutely fed up with, you know, some of the stuff that comes with being in healthcare, whether it's, you know, the stress of it, having to, you know, all of the boxes you have to check and all of the charting, you know, requirements that take us away from the bread and butter of what we do, which is that we are, you know, there for people and we care for people. And so honestly, writing a book, it seems like this huge task. And if you have something that you really want to put on paper, these eBooks are not hard to put together. You can literally buy a template or put one together on your own and post it. You can self-publish on Amazon. It's super easy to do and it doesn't cost anything. So if you are itching to do something, you're like, oh, I totally want to write a book on, because my patients always complain about this. Yeah, well, get out there and write it down and put it up and take a couple pictures. And when I say ebook, I'm not talking 145 pages. I'm talking 20 pages, maybe 19. Throw a couple cute pictures in there, a couple nice links to resources that you like, and boom, you have an ebook. And then all of a sudden you have a little passive revenue stream that is, you know, $5 to $10. And it's that little bit of, I honestly think that was one of the things that it was one of those first moves that I knew if I could do, figure out how to write an ebook and put it on Amazon and that people would pay me for that. And it was one of those moments where I thought, oh my gosh, like I could totally do something, you know, that people would pay me for and I don't have to be on call for it. You know, it was like this, it was another one of those moments where I thought, oh, I could totally do this, you know? Or like these small skills. I have to chuckle even like some of the small skills that I think that we pick up along the way, you know, whether you're, you know, if you're like a charge nurse and you're like, oh yeah, I could put together a little booklet on how to be the best charge nurse or 5 tips for, you know, how to be a great charge nurse. Or, you know, I'm working with a couple of clients right now on nursing resumes because I've gone through hundreds of resumes over my career. And, you know, so I'm working with a couple of people on how do you build a resume that stands out and how do you create a bio sheet, you know, visual representation of who you are and what you do. There's like all sorts of ways to take what we do and to make a little bit of an impact and also, you know, some money on the side. And sometimes it's those little things that remind us, like, we can do whatever we want, you know?
Yes, girl. Yes. Basically, I think what you're speaking to right now, which is beautiful, is creativity.
Yeah.
And you talked about this a lot before, with just this whole thing. In my experience, when you start adulting and when you've had trauma, which is pretty much every human, mm-hmm. you shut off this access to your higher self, your intuition, and your creativity. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people listening right now probably haven't done something creative in a long time because you shut down when you have trauma. You just totally, it's too overwhelming. And so what you're talking about is so beautiful because it really is a launching point, you know, for someone, for a nurse, or even if you're not a nurse, like you get this, you, to me, they're all soul nudges. Everything that happens, especially if you feel like it's a crisis, is basically like a knock from spirit, because we're spiritual beings, right? Having this human experience. And so having these uploads, downloads, ideas, gut level hits, it really is like an invitation. And if you like go down that path, if you go toward that direction, everything that you ever need is going to be shown to you.
Yeah.
And I think your story is a perfect example of that. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. No, I agree though. I think there are so many avenues, and there's, you know, I was even thinking when you were talking about, you know, the creativity piece of it, you know, I think for it because I will tell you, one of the first things that improved for me once I left clinical practice was that I began to sleep regularly. And, you know, over the course of my, you know, time with my shoulder dystocia and really going through an MBA, and we built this big, you know, 35,000 square foot ambulatory center, as medical director, and all along the whole while I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And you know, and so I think about when I left practice, one of the first things that I, you know, we took this great trip, with my two sons and my husband, and we went and like drove around Ireland for about 2 weeks, and it was so fun. And when we came back, you know, over the first probably 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, one of the first things I noticed was just this, how long it took to recover from chronic sleep deprivation. As I started to do that, and as I started to feel more like myself and more whole, it's interesting because I started to do other things, like I went back to doing things like making jewelry, which I do on the side because I love it. I love putting together beads and bracelets and making necklaces. Like, I love that. And I, you know, my son and I, my youngest son really likes to paint, and both of my sons like to paint. And so we got tons of paint supplies, and we pull them out. We do painting sometimes. And like, those are things that I love and that I've always really enjoyed doing, but that totally took a backseat, you know, and whatever, I know, you know, work comes up and life comes up. And, but it's so interesting how that piece came back to me, like this idea of, okay, there are other ways that I can, you know, there are like other things that can come to me that I can put back out into the universe. And creativity was one of them. Totally.
Yes. And how apropos for a midwife to be creating. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. That's why I love it so much. So when you were talking, I think it sort of boils down to this. I think what we have sort of carried as a profession as nurses is that basically, if you're going to be working as a nurse, it's like there's so much sacrifice, and we get so deep in the trenches that it's hard to come out. So if someone's listening and you know, maybe they feel like leaving their day job is not an option. Are there like one or two things that they can start with right now to help balance, to help have some more fulfillment, to have a little bit of more joy that you would want to share with the listeners?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest things I think one of the easiest ways where we can take ownership is to really develop kind of our mindset. And honestly, I think there's kind of like a lot of buzz around mindset and stuff, but I think that there's good evidence to support it. And it's rational to say, if I have little control, right? If I'm walking into a 12-hour shift and I have literally no control over the assignments that I'm given, I have no control over who walks in the door, I have no control over how many babies I will catch, or how many patients I will have to discharge today, right? And so we sometimes get, I think, caught up in the trying to exert control over those things over which we have no control. And so what I've really kind of come back to and what I work a lot with my clients on is, look, if all of that is out there in the ether and there's all of these possibilities and scenarios and, you know, things that over which we have no control, where do we have control? And that's on how we, number one, show up. It's how we talk to ourselves. It's how we challenge and consider what thoughts we have and how those thoughts become our beliefs or how they don't become our beliefs. And it's also about, you know, how do I reframe some of the things? Like for me, I've just learned a huge lesson today, which is my so-called, you know, quote unquote trauma of this shoulder dystocia. Maybe it's just a soul nudge, and maybe it was just another opportunity for the universe to remind me that my purpose was different than, you know, what I was doing in that moment. And so if we can reframe, you know, we can take such ownership over that moment, and it's such a powerful piece. And so I think as a first step, it's asking yourself the question of, number one, you know, what can I do to help my, you know, to improve kind of my resolve and to improve my mindset today when I walk into my 12 hours of craziness or my 8 hours of craziness? And what are the tools that I will use to help me, you know, question some of my thoughts and beliefs, and also really to, you know, question if I can reframe a situation where it doesn't seem so bad.
So powerful. Okay, so this is really big. I love this. Taking ownership, developing your mindset. So asking yourself, you know, where do I have control and what are the tools? This is enormous. So many tools, right? My interview with Tracy Phillips was phenomenal. She's talking about, we literally have things just below our noses, but we can't see them because we're so deep in the yeah. lung, right? So I love this. How do I reframe this? And really just do a self-study. Like, I love to tell people, just for kicks, just for like entertainment, you know, start your day with this mentality. One of my coaches, Maru, used to say this. I love to talk about the power of words, where if you just assume, of course, just those two words, of course, see how different your day is. Well, of course I woke up early. Of course the guy behind me paid for my coffee. Of course I got the interview. Of course I found my soulmate. It completely changes the energy and the synergy, right? It's like you're assuming the highest good of everyone. And when we're out of fear, ego, shame, that's where we hang. So these are such awesome, powerful tips. Now, before we tell people how to get into your vortex, come to your retreat, and can you share a divine download that you feel is relevant for the audience today? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I think probably one of my divine download, which I kind of take as one of those pearls, is, you know, and what I've learned probably over the past, you know, 10 years or so, is that indecision is a choice. Like, indecision in and of itself is a choice, right? Like, I could choose A or I could choose B, and then I can choose indecision. And we often, I think, you know, for many years, I'll just speak from personal experience, have, you know, whether it's issues with procrastination or just not wanting to do the work, right? Not wanting to set up the system, not wanting to take the time to make it right or make it what it could be to help me. You know, I've just pushed it off and pushed it. Well, I'll get to that. Well, I don't know what I want, so I'll think about that next week when I have a couple of days. And I think what I've learned, one of my pearls, is that, you know, the indecision has a cost.
there's an opportunity cost to it, and there's a, you know, there's a real cost to it. And so I'm learning and trying to help others learn about how to improve their ability to make decisions and recognize that even when we have indecision, it's still a decision. And are we okay with that?
Oh, this is deep, people. So good. Indecision is a choice, and it has a cost, both an opportunity cost and a real cost. I can't, this resonates with me. Hello, procrastination, anyone?
Do you know what? Do you watch? I mean, you know what really got me thinking about this over the break actually was the Mel Robbins video. Like I appreciate watching her, but I love her 5-4-3-2-1 technique. You know, for procrastination, I just think it's a great, you know, it's a great way to kind of move into action and out of, oh my gosh, this is terrible, I can't do, you know, you kind of remove that whole piece of it. So I love that. But yeah, it's, you know, we can get, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've found myself in some places where, you know, I just terribly procrastinated and it just did not serve me, you know.
Yes, girl. Yes, totally. And especially if you're what we used to call type A, control freak, micromanager, and perfectionist. Yep. Anyone? Nurses, hello.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I love your pearl. That's such a powerful one. So this has been just a really raw, authentic, very vulnerable, very rich conversation. I know so many women are going to benefit from. So I want to thank you for going there with us, because the benefit for so many people is so rich. And so I really want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to just talk and, you know, kind of a little bit of commiserating, but a little bit of sharing, and thank you for teaching me a few things today too.
Absolutely. Now, how can people get to know you, get to your retreat? Tell us all the things.
So I am active on Instagram, and my handle is the same across most of my social media, or I think all of my social media platforms. It's at Ann Conkley, AnnKonkoly, CNM. And that's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and my website is AnnConkleyCNM.com. So I tried to make it as easy for people to find me. But I post a ton of stuff on Instagram. That's my main platform. And I like it because I'll tell you, it's kind of from a selfish standpoint, but my Instagram profile and all of the things that I post, I go back to regularly for when I, you know, need either a kick in the pants, or I need kind of a reminder of the things that I've done, or the wisdom that at one point, you know, I came to me and I shared with others. So that's where I regularly post, and I personally regularly go back to just to remind myself of, you know, some of those pearls. So, but that's the easiest way. My retreat is again coming up, and that's being hosted in Geneva, Ohio, the Lodge, which is a beautiful lakefront resort. And that retreat is January 17th to 18th, from noon on Friday to noon on Saturday. 24-hour pause. There's 7 hours of nursing credit available for nurses who attend. And though it is a conference that is, or a retreat that is open to women. And sales of those tickets will be available until the 12th, Sunday, January 12th. So we got about a little less than a week to finish up some sales. So,
and where do they go to get those tickets if they're, and how far is, or where is that lodge in reference to like Cleveland?
Yeah, Geneva, Ohio is about 45 to 50 minutes east on the lake from Cleveland. And so if you're in the Youngstown area or Buffalo or Pittsburgh, kind of in that area right where New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio kind of meet, it's a great, you know, it's a relatively easy, you know, 1 to 2 hour commute for most people. So it is
not far, you know, here, kind of a quick day drive. Again, it's on the lake. And you asked me, oh, how do you find the tickets? There's a link in my bio on my Instagram profile. If you go to my website, there is at the top in the banner, it says the Cultivate Retreat. And you can click on there and it will give you details on how to buy a ticket through Eventbrite. You can search through Eventbrite for the Cultivate Retreat, and that's Cultivate with a K. And those are the, you know, three main ways.
Wonderful. So the website again is your name, annkonkolycnm.com.
Yep.
Wonderful. Well, I hope that is, I'm sure that's going to be an incredible event and opportunity for women to, you know, be face to face. I mean, listen, I love virtual everything because you can reach a lot of people, and there's something so powerful about sitting on the earth with other women in a circle.
I agree. Totally. Yeah. 1,000%. Yeah. No, I'm super excited and I can't wait. It's going to be great. I just created some journals and I'm going to, you know, like what will you cultivate in 2020? I created, I don't know, 5 or 6 of those to give out, you know, as some raffle prizes, and we have all sorts of goodies. I mean, I got some really good lubricant that we're giving out because I'm a midwife and we talk about vaginas, and so it's okay. I've got tons. I'm like putting together all the swag bags, and I'm super pumped about these swag bags because they're going to be awesome.
Oh my gosh. That sounds so amazing. Wow. That sounds incredible. So this has been such a treat. I know that people are, so many women are receiving from this episode. Any final parting wisdom, pearls you want to share with us today, Anne, before we sign off?
I think, you know, if you can take a moment and ask the universe or God or whatever kind of higher system that you believe in, I think if you can pause and ask yourself, you know, what is the universe asking of me? It's a super powerful moment. And I would like to see that I give women the space and time to do more of that, because I think the answers that come from it can be life altering, and they can provide us with a window and some guidance that I think a lot of us sometimes are seeking. So that's all I got.
So powerful. Thank you so much, Anne. This has been such a treat. I'm so glad the universe crossed our paths.
Me too.
You're so welcome. And thank you also to the listeners. And please, 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 if you're enjoying this episode or the podcast in general, share it with your peeps, mo meeps. Please leave me a review over on the iTunes. This is a little bitty baby podcast. I started over a year ago, and we got to get it in between more ears. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your energy. And remember, if you're feeling stuck, welcome to the club. It's called the Human Experience. You can just honor, and like Anne said, take the pause, ask the universe what it is that you need to know in the moment, and you will be provided all the answers. So until next time, remember that you're loved and supported, even and especially in the times where you feel like you're not. And take great care of yourself, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.